At Link Humans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, sans Vaisan! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we're speaking to an American department store chain founded in 1858. So a lot of legacy there, but also some big talent challenges, especially seasonally. So how do they manage employer branding? All shall be revealed. Let's start the show. James, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So please let us know who you are and what you do.
All right. I am James Marable. I am an employer brand manager with Macy's. Macy's is one of the largest retailers, fashion retailers in the United States of America. We're a historic, iconic American brand, legacy brand in the retail space. And as a, you know, as an employer brand manager, my job is pretty much to handle anything that has to do with what it means to work at Macy's. So the concept of working is my product as a marketer. I head up all of the creative direction creative direction and execution for all of our digital and printed assets. I produce all of our videos as well as define the paid and organic social media strategy.
Wow, so you're a busy guy.
Very busy. And then anything else that someone, you know, drops on my desk.
Yeah. So, and I believe Macy's is out of Cincinnati. How many employees do you have?
So, Macy's is dual headquartered, actually. So we're here, I'm based out of Cincinnati, Ohio, in one of our corporate offices. And then we also have a headquarters in New York City as well. We have well over 100,000 employees across the United States, and we specifically ramp up during the holiday season, which is for us between September and December, where we hire an additional 80,000 individuals to work with us temporarily for, you know, the Christmas and all of the holidays that are during that time of year.
Great. Okay. And so what attracted you to the company and what keeps you there?
Yeah, so it's funny because actually what brought me here, I was reached out to by a recruiter via LinkedIn, but at the time I actually owned my own business. I had a small clothing store here in Cincinnati. Oh, wow. And but my background is in digital marketing. I worked for a couple different agencies, but at the time I wanted to run this business on my own. It was a dream of mine, and it was something that I was doing. However, when I was reached out to by a talent acquisition director about a role for social media strategy for talent acquisition, it's funny because at the time I didn't even know what talent acquisition was, but it was a neat opportunity. To do social media on a very large scale for, you know, one of the largest companies in America. So that's what kind of brought me into the door. We had great conversations, took the job. And, you know, as I started learning more and more about TA and how to apply marketing principles and concepts, because I'm a marketer by trade, to the talent acquisition world or the recruitment space, I just really became super interested in just figuring out how we can kind of evolve this from, you know, this discipline where, you know, we have a bunch of recruiters that are kind of splitting time and trying to do their real job, which is recruit talent, and then, you know, learn marketing on the side. And how can we grow it? So over the past, you know, over the past few years, I've just been able to grow this role and go from, you know, the social media strategist for our college recruitment, our college recruiting, and our corporate recruiting, into a role that literally touches every aspect of the company. So, you know, we're doing in-store marketing materials, we're shooting video, we're managing, you know, we're managing and redesigning and constantly evolving our various hiring websites, whether it's from a tech perspective, from our stores perspective, college as well. And it's just a very interesting job, from my perspective. I think that, you know, a lot where we are now with it, as opposed to when I started in 2013, you know, this field and this world is just truly grown, and people are really understanding that, you know, this is marketing and the concept of work. You know, we live in an environment where, you know, a person can work anywhere. So, you know, how can we entice them to want to choose our company? And here at Macy's, you know, I've been empowered to, you know, to bring any idea that I have to the table. Everyone has open ears, open hearts, open minds. And just kind of allows me to work, and my team has grown. It's gone from me literally with no budget, to a team of, we're a team of four now. We're a team of four. We have a pretty sizable budget at this point. And, you know, just the flexibility of the overall work and the pace of it. It's super fast paced. There's a fire every day from some, you know, from some part of the country, some part of the company, whether, you know, we're hiring, you know, we need to hire 10,000 people for stores, or we need to hire, you know, data scientists out in our San Francisco tech offices, and get very niche in that regard. So, I think for me that what really keeps me here, is just the pace of the work and just how it evolves and grows over time.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the challenges in terms of talent for Macy's, and also how you overcome these challenges with the help of employer brand.
Yes. So, for me, what I think a challenge I'd have for the past couple of years, and this was, you know, a new addition to the responsibilities I have, is volume hiring. When you think of, you know, a business where let's say for a holiday season, like I mentioned earlier, we're hiring 80,000 people, you know, how do you do that in a succinct manner, to get the best talent, to get them in a timely manner, to create, you know, an application process that is very simple, and allows for people to just, you know, to be able to do it wherever they are, mobily, on their computer or in store. That's been one of you know, the biggest challenges, I'd say, because again, you know, as I mentioned before, a person can literally work anywhere, especially in the hourly and the volume space. You know, the consideration set could be, you know, this person working at Macy's or Nordstrom or McDonald's, you know, this person can literally choose where they want to work. So they're going to pick what fits them and their lifestyle the best. So for me, it's all about figuring out how we can create marketing and advertising vehicles that really speak to the benefits and, you know, the positives as well as, you know, potential drawbacks of the company. So transparency is definitely key. But, you know, we're really into casting a wide net, especially from a store's perspective. And we're not, you know, discussing our you know, our tech roles or, you know, our corporate opportunities. But from that volume and that hourly space, it's really just trying to figure out how we can let them know that, you know, this is a flexible job. You know your schedule up front. We have tons of technology that makes the work simple and very straightforward. Our whole idea and our whole model is around just, again, being transparent and just letting people know what they're getting into ahead of time. I think that's very key, especially, you know, in this, again, this volume space. You know, a person can see some cool marketing and not really know what the job is, interview, get the job, take the job, and then in one day they realize this is not for me. So our whole thing is around, you know, we want to reach as many people as we can, let them know what they're getting themselves into, and then show them why this is a great company and why, you know, so many people come here and stay.
Absolutely. So could you give us some examples of how you communicate and essentially how you activate these campaigns? What would it look like?
Yeah, so video is key to what we do. We love to, you know, create 30 second to 2 minute videos that speak to the work, that speak to the culture of the company. You know, some instances we'll create a video that's literally around why a person chooses to stay with us. Or we'll create a video around what the actual work looks like. For me, the way I look at it is, you know, again, if we're showing someone what it's like to be here and why other people love to be here, that is how you kind of pull at those heartstrings and really hit that core of the person and connect with them. So some of the vehicles that we use, social media advertising. So, you know, Facebook is a big driver for us, Facebook and Instagram. We're constantly telling our story through there from an organic as well as a paid, from a paid perspective. So just a little backtrack in time. When I first started back in 2013, everything was completely organic. We were organic probably until we started running our first paid tests in towards the end of 2015. Was able to build a business case and kind of say, you know, and kind of prove and show that this is the way, you know, everything is going. So paid social is a big part of what we're doing. But it's not about just spending the money and just saying, hey, here's, you know, here's $50,000. Let's just get these ads out, or here's $100,000 and let's spend this money. It's also around creating that content that resonates. So whether we're doing targeted ads, where we're connecting with a specific group of people with certain skill sets that we're looking for, or we're casting this wide net, it's again just being able to display what we're all about here at Macy's. So video is a great tool for us. We also just literally just capture photos and videos. Capturing photos and creating various graphics that we're putting out there. Again, just displaying what life at Macy's looks like, what their life at Macy's could look like, and why they should and pick us and view us as an employer of choice.
And when you do this, is there a specific way you can see that Macy's stands out against other retail employers, so McDonald's or wherever? What would your audience feel like? Okay, yeah, I should really work for Macy's because of this.
So for us, it's hold on, let me reframe this. So what makes us stand out from my point of view is that we're, number one, we're an iconic U.S. fashion-based company. Mm-hmm. So Macy's has been around for over 150 years. It's one of those brands where you just know. I mean, similar to a McDonald's. If you're in the U.S., you know what Macy's is without explanation. So that right there, you know, creates a pretty good foot in the door opportunity. From there, it's all around just showing that, you know, this company is we have a very familial environment. People make friends. People are connected to the overall goals of the business. I think what we try to show is that we're a company that really loves to invest in our people. We want people to come and stay. Obviously in a retail environment, turnover is a big part of it. But at the same time, I've interviewed tons of individuals that have been with the company for 30, 20, you know, 15 years. And they just, it always comes back to them just loving the people, and the overall environment. So within our, you know, our marketing and the things that we really put out there, we really want to display that for people. So I think that's something that really stands out. Because you don't see a lot of companies where, you know, you'll have a retail associate or even a corporate associate, because it's the same way in our corporate office as well. These people in this day and age in 2018 that can really say that, you know, they've been with this company for 20 years, they've been with this company for 35 years, Recently, I actually just saw an announcement that, you know, we had a person that's been here for 50, literally 50 years. So that, wow. That is, you know, that is the type of thing that we love to highlight. Also with Macy's, we have a major, major footprint, well over 500 stores all across the nation. And then we just have a vast variety of opportunities. So whatever, you know, whatever job that you may be looking for, you know, whether it's that, you know, that part-time store opportunity, or you're an accountant, or you're an auditor, or you're a computer programmer, obviously fashion, you know, you're a fashion buyer or a merchandiser, you're a marketer, HR professional, we literally have a job for you. So that is definitely a bonus as well. So we love to highlight those types of things as well. Just the variety of things that you can do. So you can start in one, you know, one area and then completely jump over. You can start as an HR person and then become a product manager, you know, in our San Francisco tech office as well. There's just so much opportunity, and that's really what I think helps us stand out in our marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you do a lot of marketing and you hire a lot of people every year. Is there a way for you to measure the return on investment on the employee branding efforts that you're putting out, these videos and graphics and images?
Yeah. So ROI is definitely the million-dollar question. the way we look at it, it's all about influence. So first, we've kind of made the determination, and we totally understand that there are tons of tools out here that can, you know, track up to a point maybe. I mean, it all depends on what your ATS is, how your ATS is set up. So, yes. You know, you can have, you know, we can run Facebook ads and we can look at clicks and impressions and reach and those types of things. And we can say, you know, for this amount of money, we got this many clicks, or we got this much reach, or we got this many impressions. But then there's, in some cases, there's a disconnect from, you know, once a person gets to an ATS and then they actually make the, they apply. Because that for us is self-select. So right now from an ROI perspective, it's really more so around influence. So how much traffic are we driving to the page? And then, you know, how many different vehicles do we have working in a market? So that can say, you know, are we running social media ads in Cincinnati, Ohio? Also, are we doing radio? Did we have newspaper ads? Did we have recruiters on campus at a college event? Did we have recruiters at a job fair? So we have to look at the entire mix of everything that we're doing. And then we look at, you know, uptick in application flow. We look at uptick in actual hires. I think that's more of the way that we look at it, because as of right now, there's no hard and fast, you know, this is what drove, you know, this is what got an application. We use a marketing mix of a lot of different areas. So for us, we have our self-select where, you know, when a person is actually applying, they can let us know where they came from. But at the same time, when you think of self-select, they can say they came from, or they heard about this job at a newspaper, but what if they actually heard it four times prior to that, and the newspaper was the last kicker to push them over the top? Or they saw the Facebook ad, you know, after they heard it on the radio, or after they saw a bus ad, and then, you know, they saw this Facebook ad and they were at a computer, and then they were able, you know, and then they were just deciding to apply in that moment. So again, it kind of comes back to influence. Because we don't lean on one thing. We have printed materials. We have tons of different vehicles. And again, it's all about just increasing that reach, increasing that net that we're putting out there. And then to obviously encourage trial. And from this, and by trial, I mean, you know, applying for a role here at Macy's.
Yeah. Well, you must be doing something right if you've grown the team from one to four people. So that's good. Right. So talk to us about your tech stack. Have you got maybe up to three favorite pieces of technology you might want to mention for our listeners?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm not going to count this, it kind of goes without saying, but I wouldn't be able to do any of the things that I do without my phone and my computer. So my MacBook and my iPhone are by far like my number one most important tools. I literally just came back from a week and a half trip into Italy, and I had them both. I shouldn't have, but it's just kind of like those things stay with me just to stay connected and just to know what's going on and to influence anything that needs to be influenced. With that said, from a social media perspective, I use Sprout Social. It's not a super robust tool. Well, actually, I take that back. It is. It has lots of levels. And I think that for what we do, it's a great tool for a small team like mine to be able to do some social listening, to schedule and make our posts, and also look at, various ROI or just analytical data. Aside from Sprout Social, for me, because I'm very hands-on, so Photoshop. We work with agencies, but I also get in and design myself. So Photoshop is a very important part of me, part of my job when, creating graphics that I need, on the spot where I don't have a day or even 6 hours to wait. I'll do it myself because I'll jump in because also I'm a graphic designer by trade. Goodness, what else? We have a new tool that we've recently started working with, and this actually comes back to ROI as well. I don't know if we're allowed to name brands, but it's Recruitix, and it's a tool that allows for us to place pixels on our website, and then it can actually, I won't say definitively say, but it'll get us closer to knowing at least where a person came from, whether obviously we know if they came directly to our website, but if they're coming from an Indeed or they're coming from Monster or Career Builder or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Recruitix allows for us to pin our tags to the back of those links and gives us better tracking. Now, this is something that we've only been using for a month or so. So full disclosure, I'm not, saying that this is live or die, because we've been doing this for a little over 5 years, without it. But I think that it's definitely given us a little more insight into what, into where people are coming from and allowing us to better spend our money in different places, even just after a month.
Yeah. Okay. Recruitix. So that sounds really useful. Great. And lots of employer brand managers are listening to this now. What would be your top tips to them?
Be ready to do it all. That is literally my number one tip. It's a little bit different in this space. If you have a marketing background, you're used to working, in a marketing group in a big organization, or even from the agency side, you have a lot of help. You have a lot of people that are kind of piecing the work off. But when you're in this EB side, and let's say you're at a company that doesn't, you don't have a lot of headcount or you don't have a big budget, you have to be ready to kind of roll your sleeves up and get in there and just do the work. Just be ready to do it all. Two, budget or no budget, the job has to get done. So when I started here at Macy's for 2 years, I didn't have a budget at all. Everything was organic. So that meant, me making partnerships with, with individuals that worked in other locations, and having them send me content, me making sure that I'm showing up to all of our employee resource group meetings and all of the various activities that are happening in our building, and just being able to capture that content, just so that, again, so the work can get done. But then, I came into a space where then we started having budget. We're a pretty big budget, and we're able to spend money on, social media or, creating marketing, printed marketing materials, or doing DTC mailers and things like that. But to get to that point, you kind of got to build your base, and you may be coming into a situation where there is no money or there is no base. It would be lovely if you could come into an opportunity where there is a budget, but 8 times out of 10, you're probably going to come into a scenario where you have to build it from the ground up, because this world and this industry is still pretty new, employer branding, that is. So You know, you're going to have to get out there and build your business cases and be able to connect with leaders in other groups and, you know, and get someone to commit $10,000 to a project that you have or commit $5,000 to a project or something more or something less. But you really have to just know that no matter what, the job has to get done. And people on from the outside looking in won't necessarily understand what difficulties and problems you may have. Because they're just looking to get their hires, or they're just looking to get more application flow. So you have to recognize that, you know, whatever your handicaps are, you still have to get past them. And what I mean by that is from a budget perspective.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. So you were partnering with other people in other departments who had budgets, but now that you've got the budget, are they coming back to you now and calling in the favors?
Yeah, actually, that's a real thing. But I mean, there's never a such thing as too much money or enough money. Let's say that.
Oh, yes.
So even though, you know, looking back where I came from to where the budget I have now is, it's night and day for sure. But there are tons and tons of projects that I would love to get off the ground if, you know, if there was more opportunity or more money or, you know, more partnership. So, you know, part of my job is just constantly, you know, having conversations with other groups that may have excess funds that need support and to figure out how, you know, we can partner and get these things done. So, yeah, but like you just mentioned, there are tons of groups that also come to me and they don't have any money and they need to get this done. And, you know, it's my job to figure out how I can support them the best, because no matter what, you know, we have to fill these roles. We have to get this application flow in. And, you know, that is the biggest thing. So how can I effectively market these roles and these jobs and or arm our recruiters with the best materials that they can use when they're having conversations with individuals out here in the world to bring them to our company?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those were your top tips there. Do you have any pitfalls or any mistakes that you've made along the journey that you'd like our listeners to stay clear of?
Always set expectations. I from my experience, especially in the EBM space, we're working with recruiters and HR professionals. You can't expect them to understand marketing up front. What may be simple to you, what may be something that you learned when you were in your second and third year of school, you can't expect them to know that those operations or how something actually works from, you know, their, and I look at them as clients, from a client perspective. So I'll use that term. So from a client perspective, you know, they just want an end result. And they may just think it's a button that you're pressing. You know, if they're saying, hey, you know, we need this. We have $10,000 we want to dedicate to social. Get it done. Like that's it. But you have to let them know that, you know, it may take some time, or you're staggering this, or you need more information, or what is their target? You know, what does the target candidate look like for that person? So setting expectations is key, because I can tell you for sure in the beginning for me, you know, I would get a request, or I would start a project for a group, and, you know, they were looking for results in one day. Kind of, you know, like, two days later, why haven't we hired anyone? So it's very important to set expectations and let your client or your partner or whoever you're working with know, you know, what it's going to take to get this done. And it's not necessarily an overnight solution. It may be an overnight solution. You may, you know, solve a problem for someone in a couple hours. But if that's not the case, make sure to say that and let them know what it's going to take to get it done, because it's going to look bad on you if they don't fully understand what goes into what you're doing.
Yeah, gotcha. Great. So if we look beyond Macy's, what other employer brands, I should say, out there inspire you?
L'Oreal has a great brand. Everyone knows that. They're super transparent, and I just really like what they do. You can tell that they have a sizable budget, and then it's also just the concept of employer branding is ingrained in their culture. I feel the same way about Heineken, Indeed as well. I think those three employer brands, they really put it out there and kind of let people know what to expect. I think it's vastly different from, I'm not gonna say vastly different, it's a lot different from what we do in perspective of the actual types of candidates that we're going after. Because on one hand, you know, we're able, from a corporate perspective, we're targeting, you know, very specific niche groups, and we're able to do things similar to a L'Oreal or an Indeed. But then from an hourly perspective, I think that it's a lot more broad for us. So for those companies with a more, you know, professional clientele, you know, clientele or not clientele, but employee population, I think that you can really speak to overall culture because it's a more of a finite amount of people that you're working with, or a certain type of person that you're working with. So I just really like what they're doing within the, within their confines.
Yeah. Good point. So, and what do you think is up next for employer brand in general, and specifically what's going to happen at Macy's?
I think employer, from an overall employer brand industry perspective, I just see it moving more and more in the traditional marketing model. Employer branding is the same thing as CPG branding. You know, if we're looking at an iPhone, and we're trying to market that piece or you know, that object to sell, it's the same thing for employer branding. And when you're thinking about speaking of people in the concept of work, I think as time progresses within our industry, it's just, we're just going to be taking on more and more of those traits. I mean, you see it now. Obviously, we're all over the web. We're doing video, social media. It's very digitally driven. And then also, you know, with your, you know, obviously with collateral, printed collateral, and your mailers and things like that. I just see it all converging more and more and more. So I think we're moving from a space where they're just looking at it where, oh, it's a bunch of recruiters just trying out marketing, to where this is a marketing discipline where, you know, we're all thoughtful and we understand the principles and the concepts of what it means to be a marketer, and how, you know, how we're able to create these brands and preference for work at our various companies. Here, from a Macy's perspective, I look at it similarly. You know, it's all around just finding those opportunities and meeting our candidate where they are. So whether they're online, whether they're at some sort of hiring event, they're at, you know, on a college campus, our whole thing is around just meeting them where they are and making the process of applying in working for us as seamless and easy as possible. We just want it to be one of those things where, you know, when a person is thinking about working, it's like, oh, I need a new job. How can we make it so it's unavoidable to think about Macy's? And that's kind of my thing. So from a branding perspective, it's pushing it, pushing what we're doing to that level. You know, whether we're, you know, we're running ads on Snapchat, you know, obviously that's a, you know, a buzz word right now. We're running ads there, or we're, you know, we're sticking to Facebook and Instagram, you know, heavying up on our LinkedIn activities. I just really think it's all around just meeting the people where they are.
Gotcha. Great. Okay. That was fantastic. Final question. Where can our listeners learn more about the employer brand work that you guys do at Macy's, and can they connect with yourself anywhere on online?
Yes. From a Macy's perspective, Macy's Jobs. So Facebook, Macy's Jobs. Twitter, we're Macy's Jobs. Google Plus, we're Macy's Jobs.
And then,
yeah. And then on Instagram, we are Life at Macy's.
Gotcha. And James, you are on LinkedIn, Twitter?
Yep, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is jmarable3, the number 3. And then if you guys are looking at coming to a conference and hearing me speak, I'll actually be at the Social Recruiting Strategies Conference in San Francisco, January 31st through February 2nd.
Great. Well, hope to see you there. Thank you so much for your time today, James.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Oh, one quick thing. Couple quick shout outs.
Yeah.
I'd like to shout out my friend Audra Knight. She, you know, EB Rockstar, she's been one of your interviewees as well. Yeah. Brian Chaney and Will Stanley from the Talent Brand Alliance. I work with them. I spoke at the Talent Brand Summit this past June in Austin, Texas, and it was a wonderful experience. And those three individuals, I just want to shout them out because they really helped me get out and outside of my bubble. And really finding other opportunities to kind of speak and champion the employer brand experience.
Absolutely, and I concur that they're fantastic, I should say, advocates for the category of employer brand.
For sure.
Thanks, thank you again. Thank you so much for your time, Jay.
No problem, thank you.
All right. Well, you have it, folks. I hope you found that interesting. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com. If you have not done so already, feel free to leave an honest review as well. And also check out the accompanying show notes article to this episode, which will also be available at the same URL. And I should also mention that we are kicking off the Employer Branding Academy again, the Autumn Academy. So it's an 8-week blended learning course starting on the 18th of October here in London. There are also other kickoff dates happening all around Europe. If you're interested in that, feel free to contact me at jorgen@linkhumans.com. And I'll also put a link to this in the show notes. And finally, you might be wondering, what does an employer branding agency actually do? Well, we help companies to understand, define, and measure their employer brands. So that means we do a lot of research, qual and quant. We develop EVPs, we refresh EVPs, we come up with brand assets, so brand asset creation, and we do measurement in terms of the employer brand index. So if you're interested in any of those services, feel free to get in touch. Just check out what we do at linkhumans.com. Okay, that was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-do!
Why did the teddy bear say no to dessert?
No idea.
Because she was stuffed.